is Free Talk Live. It is the live Labor Day edition of the program, and we're launching into hour number one. It is Ian here with you.
And Guard.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features on our website we give away, so do enjoy those on us. That again, freetalklive.com. Lots to talk about here tonight. We're in the studio. I mean, a lot of talk show hosts, they take Labor Day off. I don't know how many of them do, but I know a lot of them do. Well, you say all of them, but Gardner was willing to go in and do his live show here in New Hampshire today.
Got
so
it.
Maybe all the big talk show hosts are willing to take the day.
I happened to hear a Rush and O'Reilly today, and both of them were having quote-unquote best of shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, we're here. We'll talk to you about whatever you want, and we'll start things out with John Stossel, someone who at one point I will get on this show. I don't know when it's going to be, because Gardner's managed to have him on his show a couple of times, it's doable.
Yeah,
it's
possible. We can work it. I have a couple friends who are producers over at ABC for Stossel.
If you could make that happen for me, that would be fantastic.
You got it. We'll see what we can do, Matt.
Well, because Julia has been reading his book recently, his Myths, Lies, and Downright Stupidity.
Yeah.
Have you had a chance to sample
that? It's fantastic.
It is excellent.
Yeah.
And so that'd be an excuse to have him on to talk about his book. But this is an article from John, which is appearing in RealClearPolitics.com, entitled, Why is Profit a Dirty Word? And I guess on a day where America celebrates working, it's appropriate to talk about profit because a lot of companies and people want to profit from the energy that they put into their work. And a lot of people seem to think there's something wrong with that.
Strange.
And there's nothing wrong with profiting.
You know, I always wonder about people and this concept as though not-for-profits are somehow good humanitarian efforts, but for-profit businesses are bad. Try to imagine your life without some of the things that have been created for profit. For instance, food that you eat. How about the car you drive?
Yeah.
All of these, the house that you live in.
The internet that you might be listening to us over.
How come they don't have any not-for-profit house builders? Well, I'll tell you, because, you know, it's not worth doing. They probably couldn't compete. They wouldn't be able to build one cheaper anyway. It would probably cost more. Not-for-profits are good for some things. For-profit are good for most things.
Perfect example is the reconstruction of the ravaged areas and devastated areas in New Orleans and down in the Pacific where they had the tsunami. You know, you look at the areas where they had the government money, the supposed charitable donations, which were actually brought in by the government, and it's very slow reconstruction. There are all sorts of reports that I derived, all these sound files from CNN, where they were sitting there saying, oh, it's been so slow, the recovery is so slow, they can't seem to get money in here. Well, if it is profitable, strangely enough, money comes back very rapidly. In certain communities in New Orleans, particularly the Asian communities, where they are working for profit and they don't rely on the government dole, they are reconstructing very rapidly because there's a reason and an incentive for people to put their money into it because they'll not only get their money back, they'll get a little more. It's profit.
Exactly right. And in fact, without profits, companies couldn't do things. I mean, without profits, you can't go out and do philanthropic things. For instance, we were looking, we were just in Target the other night.
Yeah.
And over by the bathrooms, they have this fairly large little board up on the wall that shows how much money Target has given to local schools. And they show you each and every school, even private and government schools, I believe. They show you the amount of money within the last year or quarter, or I'm not sure how long it's been, but they show you how much money Target recently gave to these schools. And whenever Julia and I see an example of some corporation giving money over to a charity, we always sort of, we always say, that evil corporation! You know, just sort of jabbing fun at these people that seem to hate corporations and hate these big companies.
Yeah.
Now, I have no love for the concept of a corporation, and that is a government sort of created paperwork, a government file.
They get protected from liability.
Right, that allows the owners and that sort of thing to not have a liability that they probably should have. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the concept of these big companies, they must be evil, and the fact that they're making profits proves that they're evil. but they're doing good things with the money. They're giving people jobs. They're giving money to charity. They're, you know, contributing to building houses. I know there's the Habitat for Humanity around here. I think they get some charitable contributions from a number of companies.
And if
it weren't for those companies making those evil profits, then they wouldn't be able to give the money or the building supplies or whatever to that not-for-profit group.
Yeah, I got to tell you, you know, I got a call today, one of those cold calls from somebody trying to raise some money, and initially I was going to just, you know, push it aside. They were from the Special Olympics, and they've got something going on here in New Hampshire, and I found out the woman just offhandedly said, you know, we don't take federal government money or state government money for this. And I said, well, hold on a second. So I want to talk to these people more, maybe get them on my show and do something locally here in New Hampshire to help these folks out, because that's the kind of thing I like.
You definitely have to be careful with telephone soliciting as far as the people they claim they're with.
Exactly.
In many cases, I don't know, I'm not going to label any groups with this one, but I think the police athletic leagues, sometimes the police-related ones or the fire department ones,
sometimes their unions call, which is very strange. I always wonder, how come the telephone Pullman's union doesn't call me and ask me for money, but the policemen and the firemen do?
They're hiring these, what they do is, and if you've recently worked in phone solicitation, and you can correct me on this, please dial in, 800-259-9231. But the last I understood was that they would hire on these telephone solicitor companies and then give them a significant chunk of whatever they take in, something like 50%. So be careful. If somebody calls you asking for money, you may not actually be giving all of your money to the organization that it is represented that you're giving to.
I know that's true.
May go to the phone solicitor. So that's, I'm not saying it's all the time. I'm just saying that's how I know sometimes it works. So you have to be careful with that.
But, you know, I sort of understand that to some extent when it comes to fundraising. What good, you know, what better way for a company to fundraise for a not-for-profit than to get a piece of what they raise? Mm-hmm. That way it shows, you know, how much they're working and that kind of thing. Now, the person giving may not particularly like that arrangement, but for the not-for-profit, it's, you know, even at 50%, it's 50% they didn't have.
True.
So,
that's true.
I you know, there's a couple of sides to that.
But I imagine they're paying the phone solicitors on top of that 50%. I can't believe they'd be working commission only.
I believe a lot of companies do work commission only.
That's amazing. Wow. Anyway, let's talk about profit. John Stossel says at a recent press conference, Senator John Kerry was upset as he snarled, "Oil companies in America are reporting record profits. Record profits." Well, when did profit become a dirty word? I wish the oil executives would face the media. They could say something like, "What are you complaining about? What do you think we do with our profits? Buy fancy cars and homes?" Well, we do, actually, but nearly all of the money goes to looking for more oil and following environmental rules that you want us to follow. You should want us to make more profit. Anyway, we make less profit per gallon than your beloved government makes in taxes.
It's true. But, meaning that the oil companies make less per gallon than the government gets in taxes.
Exactly.
Really,
it's
really
illegal for the sellers on the retail level to even show what the difference is.
It's it's like a factor of five, I think.
Yeah.
It's huge. But Big Oil never shouts back at the reporters. And I guess I can't blame them, given the hostility of the economically ignorant media. This recently, the media claimed that the gasoline prices had reached a new record. Julie Chen of CBS said, "Filling up is more expensive now than it's ever been. A record high," says Brian Williams from NBC. "Another record high," said Charlie Gibson from ABC. John Scott from Fox says, "Record high of, get this, cha-ching, $3.18 a gallon." No, John, get this. It's not a record high. It only looks that way if you don't adjust for inflation. And that's just silly. It's like saying that the movie The Rush Hour 2 out-earned Gone with the Wind. The media should quote prices in real dollars, but when they get excited, they don't bother. As the U.S. Energy Information Agency acknowledges, once you adjust for inflation, it turns out that gasoline cost more 25 years ago, back in 1981. When the 1981 prices converted to 2007 prices, last week's average of $3.22, and this was written a couple months ago, was 7 cents below the record, $3.29, which, by the way, was a monthly average. More on the way about profits and why people just don't get it. On this, the live Labor Day edition of Free Talk Live, you can take control of the airwaves, comment on this, or bring up whatever's on your mind. 800-259-9231. What's wrong with profits? Turns out, Not a damn thing. In fact, they're a sign that a company is doing the right thing. We'll get more into that and more at Free Talk Live.
One day soon, the U.S. dollar, otherwise known as the Federal Reserve Note, will be recognized in the global marketplace for its intrinsic value. Nothing. On that day, you will be bewildered, angry, and impoverished, or you will be calm, confident, and prosperous. The deciding factor between your two possible futures is what you do in this moment. Go to D2Z.org and learn how to survive and thrive during the U.S. dollar crisis. D2Z.org.
George Phillies is the right candidate for president. A serious, well-educated candidate who stands for the basic principles of liberty and the basic principles of this nation. You know the old adage. If you keep doing the same thing, you will get the same results. The choice this election year is simple. More of the same or real change. For peace, prosperity, and liberty, go to www.phillies2008.org.
Paid for by Phillies 2008. This is George Phillies, Libertarian for President. I approved of this message.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
This is Jack Blood with the Genesis Radio Network, and I have an urgent message for our listeners. The mass media keeps telling us that we are the richest, most powerful economy in the world. If this is true, why can't we pay our bills? Why is the United States the world's largest debtor nation? The truth is that we are in the worst debt bubble in our nation's history. When the bubble bursts, will you be able to feed your family? When the inevitable crash occurs, will you be ready? Call Whitehurst International at 1-888-892-6238. That's 1-888-892-6238 for the following 2 free reports. U.S. debt bubble red alert and real estate crash. Call 888-8-XANADU. That's 1-888-8-XANADU. Ask for George.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show, and you can bring up whatever's on your mind via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll-free line for you. It's Ian here with you.
Vanguard.
And Mark. And you can join us online. FreeTalkLive.com is the place to go. The features for free. Bulletin board system is there. Over 250,000 posts just waiting for you. You can get interactive with us and over 1,600 of our listeners for free at bbs.freetalklive.com. That's bbs.freetalklive.com. Your mattress was likely manufactured using all kinds of disturbing chemicals. Does this bother you? Well, it bothers some scientists, especially in the case of young children. SavvyRest mattresses are made of 100% natural latex rubber, organic wool, and organic cotton. Try their crib mattresses, too. SavvyRest.com for the sleep you've been dreaming of. That's SavvyRest.com. We're talking about evil prophets. Prophets are terrible. They shouldn't be allowed to have prophets in America. At least that's the attitude of a number of people in this country, a shocking number of people in this country. That I don't know, maybe they learned it in their government schools. I presume that's where this attitude comes from. But profits are a great thing. We want companies to make profit because then it shows that they're doing what people want. Because if you're out there selling a product or service and people don't want it, then they're not going to buy it and you're not going to make any profit.
You know, I think part of it is a conceptual problem, too. Often people are taught this, but also I think it sort of just reinforces an instinctual thing that people feel when they see somebody with a lot of stuff. And they might not have as much. Envy is very easy. It's one of the common human foibles. And shoot, you've got too much. Well, shoot, how about we turn that around and we compare you to the guy just below you? How about you've got too much? So it's tough. I think school reinforces that. And but it's a general human foible that we all sort of have to get around. And learning economics is one of the key ways to get around that. And Stossel's doing a good job on this.
Stossel started out an article in RealClearPolitics.com by talking about gas prices. And this is sort of the evil corporation or the evil companies that have been targeted this year.
DeJour.
The gas prices are too high and they're making record profits and blah, blah, blah. But nobody ever looks at the profits that PepsiCo or Coca-Cola make. In fact, as I understand it, they make a decent amount more profits than the oil companies do.
Well, most people haven't designed their lives around Pepsi or Coke. They have designed their lives around driving, and driving requires gasoline. I understand the trap that people are falling in. I don't like high gas prices either, but that doesn't mean that I think that oil companies shouldn't be able to make a profit.
Well,
and there's a difference between profit margin and profit. Profit margin is the percentage that you make per dollar it is that you the percentage you make versus how much is invested and how much you how much has to be reinvested out of it is spent, that kind of thing. Whereas profit is just the total amount. It's they're having a good year, big deal. China's buying a lot of oil.
Right, you get net or gross, and I was just going to say, this is the same sort of argument that you hear about gouging. Well, what the heck is gouging? Gouging is in the eye of the beholder, and gouging has nothing to do with anything when it's a voluntary transaction. Great example here in New Hampshire when they have the NASCAR races up in Loudoun near Concord. Everybody travels up basically one or two highways from the south to get over to this area.
Mm-hmm.
Along the route, if you go by a Motel 6 or any of these other motels in the area, you see the prices shooting up.
Sure.
Now, if those were prices that they saw shooting up, say, in Florida about 3 years ago when they had all the hurricanes, or 4 years ago when they had the
hurricanes. There'd be an investigation.
Absolutely. They'd call these people, get them in front of their congressman because they're gouging. Sorry, but when there is a relatively small supply compared to the demand, if you don't allow for those prices to rise, there's no incentive for people to try to come in and bring in more. So for gasoline, right, it's a perfect example in these areas, or water or food or anything like that. There's no, unless you've got that price mechanism to tell the supplier, hey, you can make more by bringing in more here, they won't do it.
You know, the fact that when demand goes up and the price isn't able to rise as a result, then what happens? Well, here's what happens. Suppose you are talking about a hurricane. The first person who's going to walk into this, and the store has 100 bottles of water, 100 gallons of water in 1 gallon bottles.
Yeah.
The first person who's going to walk in is going to buy all of it. If they're required to sell it at $1.50 by law or something like that. Well, if it's a hurricane and the demand goes up for bottled water, maybe it's $10 would be, make more sense. Well, then the person's going to think, ooh, let's see, $10, that's a grand for all this water. I'm going to think twice about, maybe I'll just get 5 gallons. That's right. all I need.
Right. So you don't get the shortages that you would otherwise.
Right. And I liked how you pointed out, Gardner, that having the high profits on the supposedly gouged prices encourages other people to step in and say, "Wow, Gardner's making $50 off a pack of batteries. I'm going to get some batteries and I'm going to price mine at $40 over."
Absolutely.
And then, you know, that's okay. And you know what? Also, the people that complain in those situations, "This is gouging. I want the government to come in." They are essentially not really acknowledging property rights. They don't seem to understand property rights.
Right.
Look, this is my hotel. I own it. I spent years of my life saving my money so I could purchase my own hotel and run it the way I thought a hotel should be run.
It's a capitalist venture
to
help me, and by helping myself, helping others by giving them what they want.
You don't have any claim on my rooms.
Right.
If I want to rent those rooms out for gold, I can rent them out for gold. If I want to rent those rooms out for 20 times what the guy down the street is renting them out for, I can rent them out for that. Probably no one's going to rent them from me at that price.
Right.
But I should be able to set whatever price I want to as the business owner. And stepping in and saying, no, government will tell you what price you should set. How much more un-American can you really get?
You know what else is interesting about that, Ian, and I'll hopefully tie that into what you're talking about with the Stossel piece on Real Clear Politics. You don't hear congressmen calling in the consumer on here to for them to testify as to why prices for certain things are too low.
Mm.
You know, the people who supply these things never have somebody who's an advocate for them to go in there and say, "Okay, congressman, call in the consumer and tell them why they're lowering their demand on these products.
Right.
We need to jump up demand.
You
What's
can't
going
get
on?
The consumer to come in and testify for that, but the competitors will. In the world of gasoline, we read a story earlier this year about a guy that reduced his prices for, I think it was a customer club card or something like that. He had slashed his prices 5 cents below the minimum price point.
Mm.
See, in certain states, the government sets a price point
which
you can't drop below.
It's illegal.
Otherwise, it's uncompetitive.
Right, right.
And so they can find people to talk about that.
Uncompetitive. Yeah.
Let's go to the phones, actually. Talk to Puke in New Hampshire on the Amplifier line. Hello, Puke.
Hey, good evening, guys.
What's on your mind?
Well, this reminds me of, was it 2 weeks ago? We were all, some of us were sitting around, fellow porcupines here in Keene, sitting around the pond. And one of the ladies, you talked to her, Ian, after you left, her and I had a conversation. And I would describe her as like a kind of a hippie communist type college kid.
Yes, yes, that would be David's girlfriend, Lauren. Go ahead.
And, well, it was just fascinating because this is the first time I think I've ever, since I found libertarianism, had a conversation like this with someone. And she was trying to convince me. Somehow we got on the topic of I would like to open my own business someday. And for some reason, she thinks that, like, all employees are being taken advantage of by their employers, because for some reason their employers make more money than the employees.
If you can hang on, Pete, I'll let you tell the rest of the story, okay? Hang on. We'll be back. 1-800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line. Girl he's talking about, very, very nice girl. She's very new to the whole liberty thing, though, which could explain why she's hanging out with us, but not really totally grasping the concept.
She was corrupt.
More on the way. You can take control and bring up anything. We've got Cliff, we've got Justin, and whatever you want to talk about at Tree Talk Live.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Don't just treat symptoms. Eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625 for BioSolutions.
Have you ever thought about what's in your shampoo, soap, or detergent? How about chlorides, dyes, ethanol, sulfates, sodium, formaldehydes, and more? Even fragrance can indicate the presence of some 4,000 separate ingredients, most of which are synthetic. Hi, this is Alex Jones. I was shocked when I discovered I could be inhaling these additives that can lead to coughing, wheezing, and shortness of breath, headaches, nausea, irritation of the skin, and mucous membranes. Now compare Calben Pure Soap. All natural, earth-friendly, no harsh chemicals, no animal testing. They're safe, and you save 85% of the money you're spending on cleaning products now. Start saving over $1,000 a year for your family of four. Keep it natural. Call Calben Pure Soap for a free catalog at 1-800-340-7091 or log on to 5starsoap.com. Try Calben Pure Soaps, and I'll bet you'll never use any other cleaning products again. Call 1-800-340-7091 for all your cleaning needs.
Do you suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, unbalanced cholesterol, or clogged arteries? Do you want to live free of sickness, pain, and fear with increased vitality? Today, you're going to learn about an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and improved circulation. It's called Heart and Body Extract, and it's going to change your life. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, was astonished by how quickly the product worked for her.
Within 2 weeks of using the formula, my blood pressure went from 160 over 110 to 120 over 70. Typically, a person will notice a difference within the first bottle.
So exactly how does Heart and Body Extract work?
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself.
Here are just a few of the benefits associated with Heart and Body Extract. Angina is gone in just a few days. Blood pressure goes back to normal, and irregular heartbeat returns to normal. Heart and Body Extract works by making sure your body is in balance. Doctors who've tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results. Dr. Mark Goodman talks about his experience with the product.
My experience has been tremendous. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Dr. Shreve also witnessed the positive effects with his patients.
This is the most encouraging development that I think that I have seen in a long while in dealing with these patients who are so ill. I am just amazed.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now toll-free at 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online at hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
This is the GCN Radio Network, home to hard-hitting talk radio.
This is Free Talk Live. It is the live Labor Day edition of the program. You can take control of the airwaves, as always. The toll-free number is 1-800-259-9231. SACL CAI toll-free line. That's 800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
Vanguard.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site for free. So enjoy those on us. The Shrine of Female Listeners is included. Dozens of ladies have sent us their validated photo. We prove that they're proving, that they listen to the show. See what I mean by going to shrine.freetalklive.com, shrine.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project, your only choice for more personal freedom and smaller, less intrusive government. To learn more about joining the Second American Revolution, go to freestateproject.org. That's freestateproject.org.
So we're talking about this concept of that so many people in America hold, and that is that profits are evil. Companies are bad because they make profits, and the fact that they're making more profits than someone else means they're worse than that other company. And there's so much misinformation out there about profits, and we'll get back to John Stossel's thoughts on it in a moment. But we're continuing with the phone calls first. Go back to Puke in New Hampshire. Now, Puke, you were at a recent Monadnock Pork Store. Actually, I think you were at the FreeKeen.com meeting recently here in Keene, New Hampshire. And there was a young lady who was attending for the first time with her boyfriend, who's sort of an old hat for hanging around with us. And she was there, and she's obviously pretty new to the whole liberty thing. And so you had started a conversation, and you'd just begun telling us about it. Can you recap that and jump into it?
Well, the conversation was going that I would like to open my own business. And we got on the topic that she believes that all employees are being taken advantage of by their employers. simply by the fact that the employers make more money. And I was trying to, you know, explain to her that, you know, that doesn't make any sense. You can't simply be taking advantage of somebody because you own a business and that you make more money than your employers.
Right. And another thing is you know, an employer, somebody who starts a business, has invested in inventory or machinery or capital or something, you know, buildings, pays the rent, that kind of thing. Whereas an employee walks in one day, says, I'd like to work here. They do. They have no investment other than their own time that they've put in the workplace. The employer, they can't leave. The employee can drop out the next day.
Yeah.
Exactly. That the employer has put in so much more time and effort than the employee to create a business, or they have more responsibility, so they should be making more money because they do more, maybe not physically or whatever, but they're still, you know, that they're in a higher position for a reason, and they get compensated accordingly.
Right. The employer brings so much more to the equation. And I wonder whether she thinks that some employees should be paid, all employees should be paid exactly the same. If I go in there with a PhD and I'm, making it possible to manufacture this really great item, whatever it is, and she goes in to sweep the floors, should we get paid the same?
Clear thinking.
I mean, like, should the engineers get paid as much as the janitors?
Right.
I mean, that's crazy. And I was also trying to explain to her that no one's being taken advantage of in America because you have the freedom to leave your job. I've had the unique experience of being in the military where I couldn't leave my job until my contract was up. So,
I
was a servant.
Right. You say that's unique, and that's pretty much the only situation that you are really an indentured servant in this country. Everything else, I mean...
Yeah.
At least in every instance like that, you've contracted to do so.
True.
You know, for instance, many jobs where I've gone to work, they've wanted me to sign a no-compete.
Sure.
And at that point, I am to some extent, I've signed away some rights, which is to go work across the street for a little more money later.
But you were probably being compensated for your willingness to sign such a thing, in that you were getting paid a decent wage, as opposed to you're not working for a minimum wage job signing a non-compete, I guess is what I'm pointing out.
Well, it wouldn't really matter. I would choose whatever my wages are.
So do you feel like you made it anywhere with this girl as far as progress, or did she just pretty much shut you out?
I think I was getting a little bit to her, but we had to leave before the conversation really ended or we got anywhere. So I think I planted some seeds, perhaps. And
that's good. That's,
I'm not certain, but
that's really all you can.
Being completely closed-minded.
That's good, and that's all you can really do is just plant some seeds, and then maybe water them a little bit later on, and see if you get anywhere. But the fact that people think that way, really, I mean, she's not the only one who thinks that way. And she, by the way, teaches at the local college, so that's a typical mindset for the academic person.
Well, that brings up another amazing thing is she was trying to explain that like everything is work, and that she doesn't want to do work. All she would want to do is, like, essentially lay around all day or garden. And she was trying to say that if anybody did anything, just like, you know, artwork or working at a regular job is all work and it's bad. And that was just kind of weird. I really can't explain what she was trying to say.
So maybe it seems like she has this sort of avant-garde approach that anything that's actually work is demeaning if it's not targeted towards something that is more enlightening or something like that.
Yeah. Well, when I told her that how I thought that it would be great if people didn't have to sleep as much as we did so we could be more productive, she looked shocked and she was like, "Are you serious?" I was like, yes, I would like to be able to have more time to do something other than lay around for 8 hours with, you know, letting my brain recoup.
Right.
And that was some crazy concept to her. So, I don't know.
Well, there are those who are producers, and then there are those who would like to be parasites. I'm not saying that's what she wants, but there are people out there that would just love to lay around. I mean, I it's not too shabby laying around. I mean, there's a place and time for that, but eventually I want to get up and do something. I'd get bored to tears if that's all I had to do.
I'd shoot myself.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the number of employees is always going to outnumber the number of employers, and if they have that sort of mindset and haven't been shaken out of that us versus them mentality, rather than they're trying to get something out of it which will help them and I'm trying to get something out of it which will help me, and I want to give them the best that I can give and hopefully they'll do the same, otherwise I'll go someplace else. It's a two-way street. If they don't feel like they've got that power to go someplace else and they feel like they're being taken advantage of, boy, it's a tough battle to educate people otherwise.
You're right about that, Puke. Thanks for the story.
No problem.
Appreciate it. 800-259-9231. And I think this is a problem, this attitude that we're talking about here, this, well, well, I'm a worker, so therefore I'm being exploited. I'm being taken advantage of by my boss, and how dare he make so much more money than I? He's just another person, too. That's not fair. This sort of, like you say, this us versus them mentality. Julia, for instance, my girlfriend, is a manager at a food service place,
yeah.
And she sees it in her employees sometimes, that sort of same concept. Like, look, we're all here working because we want to be here. You, nobody put a gun to your head and forced you to come here. Nobody forced you to apply. Nobody forced you to do anything. You could be laying at home, laying on your bed. You'd probably have to live at your parents' house if that's what you want to do, but you could do it.
Who knows how long your parents would put up with it.
Yeah, so, it's interesting, too. I don't know how you guys feel about this, but part of the resentment, I think, comes from a displaced resentment, which is they resent the structure they have to enter, the organizational structure they have to enter, the workforce, rather than resenting, because they have an innate frustration with the fact that they have to get up and go do something in order to survive. Especially as younger people, because their parents have basically, you know, raised them and things like
right.
that. Moving from one phase into the next phase into your life is a psychological change that some people can do very rapidly because maybe they were brought up working more, they were on a farm,
that
or,
makes sense.
Or what. Yeah, and then when they get into this, they see those people who are there as, well, I resent you too, rather than realizing that, hey, this is just life, and they went through what you did, and they're trying to better their lives. It's a difficult growth process.
I can definitely see that. I mean, when mommy and daddy have been taking care of you for all of your childhood, and then all of a sudden you're, you know, ejected from this cozy little womb of childhood into the real world, I can definitely see that that'd be tough for a lot of kids, especially if they haven't been eased into it at a young age, whereas I was, you know, working summers when I was as young as 12 or 13 at my mom's thrift store running a cash register, getting customer service experience right then. And so when I turned 16, I wanted a job immediately. I wanted to get out there and work and make money.
But,
and
you
instead
know,
of partying on the weekends, I was working on the weekends, whereas most of the other kids, you know, there are kids that come in where Julia works, 18, 19, 20 years old, never had a job before in their lives.
Insane. But, Ian, you know, the thing that bothers me is something you mentioned earlier, the schools. If the school is there, whether it's a public or private institution, let's say the government schools right now, if the government school exists to help train the kids so that they can be productive members of so-called society when they get out, how in the world are they reinforcing this idea that they are owed something, that everyone is owed something, that we're all part of a community and the guy with the money is the bad guy?
It has something to do with perhaps maybe the history lessons, always painting business as being out there and trying to exploit labor and doing awful things. And we could only be where we are today if it weren't for the government rules, that sort of thing. More on the way. This is Free Talk Live.
There are many paths you can take in the pursuit of liberty. The fastest avenue to real political change is being paved by the Republican Liberty Caucus. Join Representatives Ron Paul, Jeff Flake, and dozens of state legislators in advancing the ideals of individual rights, limited government, and private enterprise within the GOP. The Republican Liberty Caucus, online at rlc.org. That's rlc.org. Your path to liberty.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
This is George Whitehurst Berry with the Genesis Communications Network. Welcome to our new program, Crash. Are you ready? In the coming weeks, we will focus on alternative economics as well as alternative health and survival topics. We are now in the largest debt bubble in U.S. history. A subset of the debt bubble is the real estate bubble, and I believe we are in the beginning stages of what could be the biggest real estate crash in our nation's history. For crash updates, visit our website at HeronOnline.com. That's HeronOnline.com. HeronOnline.com. That's HeronOnline.com.
Looking for a new cooling system? Enjoy comfort this summer season with a new Carrier or Kenmore system from a name you can trust. With unbeatable pricing, year-round maintenance and repair, plus our satisfaction guarantee, it's time you called Sears at 1-800-241-0746 for a free in-home consultation. Ask about our special financing terms. A new, more efficient system can keep your family comfortable year-round and may help you save money on high energy costs. You can count on Sears for the quality materials and installation you have come to expect for over 100 years. Call now for your free in-home consultation. Offer ends 9/30/07. Subject to applicant creditworthiness. Installation provided by Sears Authorized Licensed Contractors. Licensing information available upon request. Energy efficiency may vary depending on your home and climate. Call now for your new cooling system from Sears and ask about our special financing terms. Call 1-800-241-0746. That's 1-800-241-0746.
Musicians are writing songs in his honor.
A nation really needs Ron Paul.
Citizens create their own videos about him.
Hi, Internet. My name is Rachel, and I'm a Ron Paul junkie.
They chant his name in the streets.
Ron Paul for president!
The man so loved by the people that he has sparked an electoral American revolution has now inspired a radio program dedicated to his campaign for the presidency of the United States. I'm Stephen Vincent, and I host Ron Paul Radio on GCN, Mondays through Fridays from 3 to 4 Pacific, 5 to 6 Central, and 6 to 7 Eastern. Ron Paul Radio is the live voice of the freedom message. If you want to learn more about Ron Paul, and if you want to support his bid for the White House, tune in and call in to Ron Paul Radio.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and it's your show. You can take control of the airwaves toll-free. 800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Guard.
And Mark. It is the live Labor Day edition, by the way. 1-800-259-9231. You can join us online, freetalklive.com, the place to go, the features for free. If you like the show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, then we ask that you shop with us at store.freetalklive.com. All kinds of great Free Talk Live branded merchandise right there for your buying convenience. That's store.freetalklive.com. We're talking about the attitude that is commonly found amongst the American population. And the attitude is that, well, because we're working, we deserve as much as the boss makes. Or, well, you shouldn't be making profits because profits are evil. Or, oh, I deserve this job. This is my job. You should be... What? You can't fire me. There are several attitudes in play here, and it all comes from the government school system. Now, Gardner, you said you weren't sure exactly how they go about instilling these attitudes. I don't know how it works either. It must be something very subtle done over a period of years in the government school system, because we all know what the system was created for.
Right.
And it was created to pump out people with this mentality, to pump out just the workers, people that are this sort of worker class, this drone, if you will, worker drone, who are going to go and they're not going to question their circumstances, they're not going to think outside the box, they're not going to be entrepreneurial, they're not taught anything about entrepreneurialism. They're taught about inventors and that sort of thing.
You know, Ian, and while I'm thinking about it, you bring up names like, I think of Horace Mann and John Dewey and some of these people who were really integral. The progressive movement in the late 1800s, early 1900s, in instituting the government system, factory system, schools we have. You know what gets me about that? And I think you put your finger on it. These people are not interested in making sure that the children they're teaching or the systems they're creating to teach these children will give them the opportunity to become good employees who will prosper as employees, because they're instilling in them this resentment.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have that resentment, you will not be a good employee. Instead, what they're doing is they are fostering in them this inability, this tendency towards failure, especially early on when they are employees, because these people who are creating the system favor a group mindset. They do not favor the individual. They favor the group. They favor the idea of somehow helping the group, the socialist concept, over actually doing what would be a good thing for these kids, to teach them, hey, the businessman is a man as well. He's just like you. He's trying to prosper. He's trying to do better. Look, start this little business. See what you can get with it. You can do more. No, they don't do that. It's resentment. He who has is evil. He who has not is good. And therefore, these kids are set on a path towards failure and destruction during their first formative years. And that's a real disservice. And I think they do it because they come from a socialist mindset, a group mentality, a gestalt concept, rather than an individual liberty concept.
I think you're absolutely right on that. We can continue with this. I want to finish the Stossel article before we wrap the hour out. He says, even if gasoline prices set no record, Congress surely set a record for inanity. What else are we to say about an anti-gouging bill passed last month by the House that would make it a crime to charge unconscionably excessive prices or take a fair, unfair advantage of unusual market conditions and increase prices unreasonably during an emergency? Please, says Stossel, lawyers will get rich debating vague words like those.
Yeah. There are a lot of vague words involved in that. Yeah.
Laws are supposed to be clear, so we'll know in advance what's legal and what's not. But there's nothing clear about those crimes. That's not legislation. It's legislative posturing. Considering the perverse incentives of electoral politics, I'm amazed this bill got only 284 votes. And Congress should know better. After Hurricane Katrina, Congress had the Federal Trade Commission investigate price gouging, and so the FTC studied price spikes going back years, but it found, quote, no instances of illegal manipulation, unquote. If the politicians do enforce anti-gouging rules, it will be akin to capping prices. And we tried that before. It was a disaster. Drivers had to wait in long lines, and some couldn't get any gasoline. Only when price controls were lifted did supplies rush in, and only then did prices go back down. Markets don't work? That's a myth. Why did prices spike in recent weeks? It's just supply and demand. Demand is up 3%, while supply is up just 1%. And gasoline is still a bargain. Think about what it takes to bring it to us. Drills must bend and dig sideways through as many as 7 miles of earth. What they find has to be delivered through long pipelines or transported in monstrously expensive ships, then converted into 3 different formulas of gasoline, moved into trucks that cost more than $100,000
each. By the way, it's not just 3 different formulas of gasoline. A lot of states have their own boutique formulas that have to be met by each of these, the oil companies. So the states make it that much more difficult for oil companies to, get it to you cheaply.
Then they have to move it around to the trucks, ship it to the gas stations that have to have lots of expensive equipment to make sure we don't blow ourselves up filling the tank. Even after all of that, gasoline is still cheaper per ounce than bottled water that the gas stations sell. There's no dirtier word in English than gouging, but we've had enough unpleasant experience with price controls to know that all they do is create shortages. Who but the politician benefits from that? 800-259-9231. So back to the point on the system that was created to, well, make it so that people are dumbed down. I mean, there's really no nice way to put this.
Yeah.
That's what the government schools exist for. So the government schools teach people that corporations or businessmen are bad. They're always trying to screw you. That you're just kind of a serf at your job, and one job's no better than another job. And they teach people that there's really no real drive for most of these people. For the people that are in the workforce, they're not driven to succeed. Most of them aren't even driven to move up in the pyramidal structure that their businesses are set as.
Yeah.
And so this mentality translates into political capital for the politicians because people have this mentality.
Right. It doesn't matter how dumb these people are, how foolishly they live their lives, they still have a vote.
Exactly.
I'm not proposing that we take their vote away. I'm just saying that that's one of the problems with our current system.
So the politicians come by and they capitalize on the ignorance of the American people, and they hold up a businessman, in this case the big oil, as the bad guy, and they rally the people around it saying, yeah, they're evil, profits are bad, regulate them. Right. And so, then of course it also helps them in calling for crazy economic things like minimum wages and things like that,
right,
because the poorest of the poor, the most uneducated, don't have any idea how bad a minimum wage is, how it's economically foolish to have a minimum wage. All they know is more money.
Yeah.
I'll vote for you, politician.
They don't understand how their higher salary doesn't equate to being able to get more with the money, because everybody has to raise their prices to pay for the higher salaries.
Well, I'm not sure that minimum wages are the worst thing out there. I'm not saying they're good.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that there are far worse economic things the government does than the minimum
but
wage.
But the minimum wage is
screwy economics.
But the minimum wage, it is dangerous economically, and it also, I was bringing that up specifically because it's a great example of how the politicians can use bad policy.
They foster that resentment.
To capitalize
on
it. Well, yeah, they can capitalize. They're capitalizing on the resentment by saying, look at what these companies are paying you. Right. They're just paying you the minimum wage. We should raise it. And so then that gets the politicians' votes. That's what the real purpose of the minimum wage is.
Yes.
It's not to help people. It's to help politicians
get
reelected.
It's interesting because this is pervasive in so many government policies, as you both bring up. You look at the regulations they have regarding health insurance. The health insurance company, evil. The person who doesn't have health insurance, saintly. The person who doesn't have health insurance, you don't know why, but there are statistics that's bandied about all the time. They might have just left their job. Maybe they opted not to get insurance, and they're paying some other way for something else, their car or school or going on a vacation. Who knows? It's their choice. But, of course, it's the insurance company's fault because, of course, they're charging too much.
So the government should come in and take over the insurance companies.
Because they're big and they're evil and they make a profit.
But the government's big, but they're not evil. They're looking out for your best interests. Just trust the government.
It's all of us. Great example. You know, I don't know if you want to talk about it later on, but I think something to tie into this is this whole debate about the truckers.
The Mexican truckers. Hold that for next hour. Let's go to the phones quickly and talk to Justin in Maryland. Justin, who has been waiting patiently, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hello.
Hey, what's on your mind?
Yeah, you were talking about that whole thing about this public school and how they're bad. I got this article by John Taylor Gatto, who is a former teacher.
Awesome.
He talks about how the public school system is based on the old Prussian school system.
It sure is.
It's basically a system of social control. So there was social control in our public school system way before there was ever psychotropic drugs, which is hard to believe.
Yeah, you know, John Taylor Gatto is fantastic. His Inside American Education book is huge. It's awesome.
It's free on his website.
Did you know that? He's just great. And he's picking up, I think I'm going to mention to you guys, he's picking up where Sam Blumenfeld has done his work. Sam Blumenfeld lives in Massachusetts. He's just amazing. Look for a book. If you get a chance, it's called Is Public Education Necessary? Blumenfeld, Blumenfeld.
I'm homeschooling my kids.
Good choice. Excellent. Justin. If you had more, hang on. We made you wait all hours, so we'll bring you back an hour or two if you want to chat a bit more. More on the way, the live Labor Day edition of Free Talk Live. People want to talk price gouging as well, and we'll talk about the Mexican truckers on the way. It's Free Talk Live. Liberty, self-ownership, the nature of government, libertarianism. What do these things mean? If you, or perhaps somebody you know, needs a primer on some of the subjects we talk about on Free Talk Live, you should check out the Liberty Radio Underground. It's an elementary introduction to libertarianism, and each show concisely handles a single topic in under 10 minutes. It's great for someone new to liberty, and it's free. Go to LibertyRadioUnderground.com today and grab an episode. LibertyRadioUnderground.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.